to the listeners, I'm Timothy Lusala. They know me also as Tim Tim. So when I was young, my mother got an accident when I was 8 years. And it was a serious accident in a way that she could not walk at that moment. And we were living with my father. So my father took everything in the house in terms of just looking like he was also frustrated. So my mother was taken to the hospital. I was born in a family of three brothers. I was the second born. So my father went and married another wife, and my mother went to the hospital, which is the biggest hospital in Nairobi, Kenyatta Hospital. And in this hospital, also you need also your person so that you can also start being treated. Mm-hmm. The first thing they just do for you is first aid. So while they are waiting for somebody who can come. And there was these missionaries from Salvation Army, a church. So they were going to visit the churches. They pray for people. They encourage them. And there is where they realized, oh, there is this woman who is not being taken care of. And they were like, okay, how can we can take care as the missionary? So my mother went to ICU. And the neighbors where we were living, because my father was like, my mother was coming, and the neighbors were like, okay, do you know any relative? So I started going to relatives. And to the first aunt that I went, we decided to go to visit my mother in the hospital. And I know, you know how ICU is. So I saw my mother under the glass lying there, and it was, oh, I thought she's dead. So I left. And I went to this aunt. So it was all of survival, from aunt to uncle to aunt to uncle. And there was this part of rejection, kind of,
yeah,
when you go to a family. Yeah, so I went back to my father to live with my stepmother. And peace thing. He really put a pin in my ear. So every morning was like, he can twist it. And you wake up, you do some job, you do this and this. So school was out now. So not going to school. And this was a tough life. So one day when he pinched it and it was very painful, I decided to take something to hit her. They did not hit her, and I ran. Running, since I had also visited different relatives and it was not working, I decided to go to the streets. So that is where we call Dandora dump site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was my home. And being my home, we had a lot of people. It is in Dandora, in Nairobi, and this was a place where many people came. We had groups. Different groups in these 15 acres.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sitting in this area, our group was called State House. These were people, maybe their mothers were raped, they were born, they were rejected. Others, their parents died, maybe in accident. The relative took everything and they were there. So it was a group of people whom you are there. Others have parents, but they have divorced. So every night, we were just sleeping, just covering ourselves with sacks and these. So every night we used to share stories. Why are you here? What do you think? Every Sunday we used to wake up and sit down and watch. We were watching other children with their parent. They are holding hands. They are going to church. Then you are like there, thinking, why me? Why am I here? So sometimes it was to learn how to accept ourselves, and we were living because of food. You are not living because of anything. You want food. And that was, just to summarize, that was a little me, and it was very heavy. So later, after some years, I started mobilizing the group, and we go to play. we were playing too for an organization. There was an organization called Mathare United. It had some zonal program. And this zonal program is where you go, you play, you eat, you get food. That was St. John, whereby they give you food. So ours was food, nothing else. When you eat, you don't have a dream of tomorrow. You admire to go to school, but you can't get that school. You are like, oh, I want to go to school. And in Kenya, you know, people wear a uniform when they go to school. So you see, when you are walking in the morning, you look at others, you see them going to school, you look at them, you're like, okay, why? Okay, you just agree that. So we were collecting plastics, just the garbages, and you go and sometimes you take them to, and they are weighed. My younger brother, also through the mistreat of my stepmother, he joined me in the street. And I was in the street like 2 years and a half. And my brother died. So after he died, my mother, with this team of Salvation Army, they took her to Germany to be treated. So she was treated, she became well, and also they showed him some skills, hand skill job, like knitting, bakery. And she was taken to Salvation Army in Nairobi as a teacher. She was called Catherine Bonne. So she was loved by the girls because there she was teaching them. Yeah, so there is a friend of my mother. Whenever I was where we were playing, when every time she was passing, she used to see me there because we used to come, gather. And I was always in front because I realized when I mobilize and we go for food, I will be the first one and I'll also be coordinating. So I'll also get more. Yeah, so that was my strategy. Anytime I feel, hey guys, let's go. And there we go. And reaching at this place, this woman used to come, check me. And one day she asked, are you a son of, you know, your mother is alive. He has come from Germany and he's working in one of the Salvation Army, and you can meet with her. So I just like this mother that I took it like for granted. So one day while we were playing, I saw Salvation Army vehicles coming to the field. And I was like, okay, what's happening? And we thought it's food. Then I saw my mother being brought out of the car with a wheelchair. And that was my happiest days in my life, to meet again, to reconnect. When I reconnected with my mother, the first question was, what do you want to do? With the Salvation Army, they asked me, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go back to school. So I was given an opportunity. Salvation Army took there is a family in Australia. I don't know them, but they used to send money through Salvation Army, which took me to school. But going again back to school, when I was in a class and maybe you do something wrong, the teacher will say, don't belong here. You just need to be in the street. Then other people laugh. Then you feel like, I'm not, this is not my place. So I joined a lot of extracurricular activity, football, dancing, poem, theater, when there is acting. And I know, this teacher, when he comes, he will frustrate me. I just like say, I want to go here. So my life has been changing, but I joined secondary high school. I used to be a good player and just playing. I got injured and people contributed. So out of their contribution, I got some money. And this was when I was in high school level, that is Form 2. Yeah, and in between, the transition from the street to the normal life, I became very sick because you are eating anything. Here you are eating clean food, you know. Yeah, so that was a lot. And from there, I went to high school. And the time I started seeing I'm getting transformed through the Mathare United program, where I was also a leader of a team, where I learned life skill, how to teach others, how to talk to others. This was my skills. But in school, I can't say I was good. I was not that good in school because I was feeling, since every teacher can say, you don't belong here, you do this. So I felt like I'm not good. And why I loved sports, one day I scored a goal and everybody out in the field celebrated. And when I looked, everybody celebrating, I realized, oh, I can do something. I'm not a fool. I'm not stupid. If these people, all of them can celebrate, then I can also, I have something I can do. And from there, everybody wanted to talk to me. Everything wanted to work out. And where I was, there was a lot of single mothers, single fathers, divorced in our slum area. It was called Kariobangi North. And this divorce, sometimes if you live with your mother, you don't have a say in terms of you can do anything. She can't control you because you feel like mom is saying this, oh, I can't do it. So there was a lot of crime. You can do crime, you can do this. But because of the love of my mother, she refused to stay in the headquarters of Salvation Army where they were training. And she decided to come and stay home. Because she was told no boy is allowed to stay in the center. And I told her, let me just stay outside. And to her, she said, no, let me get out of the center. We stay outside. But every time there was cold, because she had some plastic, some metal, she used to be sick. And we needed medicine. And if I don't go to play, sometimes you go and play, you are given 30 shillings by that time, which was also a lot. It could at least buy a medicine and it can make something. So a lot of my friends used to attract me. We can join this crime. I've seen a lot of young people committing suicide, seen others dying. And I decided after my high school, I went to Eldoret. And I had already had an experience of organizing tournament, of talking to people about life skills. So in Eldoret, there was no any activity that people were doing. So going there, I went there because I realized where I am, I can join. It is easy, the situation around me, for me to join crime. Because you'll see your friend, he has wired well, he's working. So I told my mom, okay, I think I need to change the environment. And the amount I was given during the injury, my mother took a loan and we added to what I had and we bought a land because my mother was rejected even where she was married. So when we bought this land in Eldoret, I decided to relocate. And here is where the idea of ASTEP is coming. Right. There is where it is being born. I started, young people are just there, sitting, not doing anything, just they are just like ignored. So I thought of, okay, what can I do? I'm here, but I don't know what I can do. So I joined a church. I used to, because I'm free, I go to that church. I wash that church. I wash some vehicles, pastors, just to be accepted because I was looking that acceptance. So when I go there for the youth, because they come from high level and different, so I sit with them. I participate in some of their work. When I see the church is bad, I can do something. And when sometimes in the church when I wash, I collect some money. And this money I take back to the pastor. There was a youth pastor. And this youth pastor used to, every time he monitors me, but because I used to walk from where I was staying, I don't know anybody in Eldoret. I am just there. I know we have a land. There is no, I'm just staying in a small house. Yeah, so this is where a lot of people began in the church, knowing me. And there was this pastor who was talking, who was giving a speech about vision, faith, and hope, and work. Vision, faith, and work. They all go together. So I was listening to this message. If you work and you have a vision and you don't believe in it, it will not go anywhere. if you believe in something and you are working for it without a vision, it can't go anywhere. So that night I thought, what is my vision? Do I have a vision? That evening. So I saw the children playing. I went one day and joined this game. I played and everybody was excited. Just a local game. And later every child was calling me, team, 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 team. And then I saw these children, they don't have a ball. So, and the church I used to go, there was a lot of athletes. So I asked one of them, can you give me one ball? So when he gave me a ball, after training with this local team, I also trained these children. We play that way, just with no idea of what is happening. So later I talked to them, just the life skill. So one child changed. He went back to school. And his parent came and told me, what did you do to this boy? And I realized, okay, this ball can change. These people are not using this. So from there, there was an invitation to Tanzania through an organization called Creek from Norway. And we didn't have a cent because now I have a lot of children. People are giving me balls. So there was no name, just playing without any program. So one day I approached somebody on email about CRISC. There was an organization called CRIC and it was organizing this tournament in Tanzania. So I thought, oh, we can try it. So I did it and they said, well, you can come to Tanzania, but you need to pay your own money to Tanzania. Wow. This one we thought, like, what can we do? And there was this bottle of soda. So I looked the company because when I was young, we used to collect things and we sell and we get food. And I realized we can go to houses of people and collect the bottles. We just tell them, give me a bottle and we will take it back to the company. Because at that moment, I saw somebody buying a soda, Coca-Cola. And he said, okay. He was told there is a fee for that bottle. So he said, oh, just keep it. I can go with it. Then I asked myself, if this guy is going with this bottle, he will not use it in his house. He'll just put it there and it will be forgotten. So I decided with the team, I told them we want to go to Tanzania. I was very excited. And we will not ask money. We are going to ask for bottles. So today we are doing a map. From next week, we are going to every house. So we were knocking house. We asked, oh, can you give us a bottle? And we also learn to be humble, to some kids are arrogant. They can say, give me a bottle if you don't want, you know. So I taught them how to talk. So we knocked houses. We tried, but the environment, the villagers, the community were saying you can't collect a bottle and go to Tanzania. It is just impossible. And you are a local team. It is impossible. So we decided, like, we collected. Out of the number we had, we remained only 20 people. And we were over 100. Others were discouraged. They were told it is impossible. One day I knocked during our collection of bottlers. I knocked one house. And this house had the manager of the Rift Valley bottlers. So when we entered, he was like, why are you collecting the bottlers? They're from our company. When I explained the idea about the bottlers and we want to go to Tanzania. And he said, oh, come in. So I came in. He gave us, he's the one who gave us a lot of the crates. And those were around 9 crates. And each crate has 24 bottles. So we went with the crates. And he told me, tomorrow, come to my office. So I went to his office, to the Coca-Cola company. He wrote a letter that as the company, they have given us a permission to collect the bottlers. So we collected the bottlers and we managed to collect 10,000 bottlers. 10,000 bottlers, we were selling one at 10 shillings, which was not, it could not take us to Tanzania and bring us back. So this created a very big thinking, how? So I shared with the people from Creek, Norway, like, okay, this is what we have done. And we have reached here. So they were excited, but they believe African people, they are very good in cheating. Maybe it's just a trick. So they decided, no, let's go to Kenya and see for ourselves, is it real? Because the idea looks very, very good. So they went to Mathare United. They picked the director who was by then was Peter Karanja. And they told him, okay, can we go with you to Eldoret? We want to see, to assess something. So when they came, Peter Karanja knew me from Mathare United. So he saw, hey, this is our material. We know this young man. So if this is happening, then it's okay. So they took 100,000. They confirmed with the Coca-Cola company. And they decided, we are going to take your team, 45 people to Tanzania. We will cater for the food. And if you win, we will think about it. So we went to Tanzania, and the whole community of Eldoret were surprised. So we went to Tanzania. When there in Tanzania is where the idea of Estep is born. In the evening, I was sitting with these boys. All of them come from families. They have parents. I feel to me, I see they are happy. But inside, they are not happy. So don't trust every smile you see in the eyes of people. So one evening, we sat down after our games, and we started talking. What do you think about your life? What are you passing through? And one of the boy who I thought they were very rich, when he started talking, I realized even the people whom we see them as orphan or as they have a lot of pain than the people we see they are able. So I heard about them, and I realized, okay, I can use a ball to create a space for the young people to interact. So when we went back, every child wanted to join Estep because we have gone to Tanzania. So the under 18, because we went through with under 14 and under 18. So the under 18, I gave them each one a ball. Go back to your area and start a team. So each one of them went to his area. Around, they were 35. Six of them had said that this is useless. But 28 went and started a team. So these 28, each one had 30 children from his area. So 30 by 28, it gives you around 800 people. So it was easy. Those 30, I train them. They go back to their area, they train others. I talk to them. They go back to talk to others. We talk about hope. Tomorrow when you train others, talk about hope. So it was about message outreach.
Yeah.
So this started growing. Others came, I want a team in my home. So my job was to go and talk to pastors, to individual. I just want one ball. And that one ball, whenever we have a tournament, people are changing. Others, today, we have a success. We have a success through those playing. Others change their attitude. Others change their characters. Others became good people. So from there is where we started working with other organizations in terms of they approach me, come and organize a tournament for me. I want my small barbershop to be known. Some churches call me, can you organize something for, we want to come and preach. Some people come, they say we want a brand. So this was just being organized, but there is this organization called KESOFO, where I now come to register this organization. And KESOFO was a very big organization. So it said, since you have a good mobilization skills, come, we want to organize a International Peace Day. And it was a global peace day. It was a global event. So this global event brought a lot because the organization had a lot of people. So I was coordinating all over the place. It was a big region and was the center of every this planning. So when everything went smooth, there is a student called Paul Ketteler from the university. He wanted to do an internship in this organization called KESOFO. And I was just a freelance. I just walk, I organize tournament, everybody knows me in the area. When I walk, I can talk to a child to go back to school and he can go. And here is where Paul comes in 2006. And he was doing an intern, But one day I was organizing the same a tournament, which was big, and when Paul came, he was asking, I am looking for the person who coordinated the global peace game in Kesofu. So some children came and told me, that is a white guy, Mzungu, he's looking for you. And I told them, I cannot be looked by Mzungu. I think you are messing up. Mzungu, how can Mzungu come and look for me? I think with where I've come from, maybe he's looking for another person. No, they were telling me he's looking for somebody who coordinated this tournament. He's working with the organization that you. So I took 2 weeks without even taking that serious. But every day when we train, I was being told, Mzungu was looking for you. Mzungu is looking for Tim. So one day I decided, like, okay, let me go and check this Mzungu. So I went, and I went to this office of Kesofo. So when I met Paul, in fact, Paul was checking his pictures. Then he realized, oh, this is the guy I was looking for. So he told me, oh, I want to see what you are doing. That day, I went with Paul to the field. I told him, I'm busy. I have a tournament I'm organizing. This tournament I was doing voluntary. It was not a paying job. And so when Paul, we entered in this community field, there was a lot of people, over 5,000 people. Paul was surprised, like, what is happening? And he told me, Tim, do you know this is, are you organizing this? How are you doing it? Then he saw I'm doing it alone, so he became more surprised. How are you doing? So those people are waiting for me so that the game starts. So when I went there, it was like everybody was silent. And Paul saw the game, we played the game, there was... He talked even to the game. He went home very excited. And he told me the next day, I want to help you to start an organization. Go and think of a name. So that is how Estep now was born on a professional way. So I went, I came around with 20 names. Then I was asking everybody, what do you think about this? Cancel. This one, cancel. So I came with Estep, Restep, K-Step, which was Africa Sports and Talent Empowerment Program, Regional Sports and Talent Empowerment Program, Kenya Sports and Talent Empowerment Program. And Paul told me, no, this need to be a foundation and it should be called your name. Then I said, no, it's not about me, because now I've been working with 0 cent. It's about... I've seen the impact of what I've been doing. So I think let's make something that even if I go, it will continue. So Paul helped me with his resources. He taught me how to write some write-up. He taught me how to communicate when you enter in a government official, how to be confident. He was saying, today we are going to that office. I'm the one to talk. Tomorrow, we are going to the next office. You are the one to talk. Today, I'm fundraising for uniform to this company. Tomorrow, you are the one doing this. So I can say, Paul built me. So I started gaining confidence. I started seeing myself in another position. I used just to be like, okay, at least I can eat. I had a wife by that time. And we have one child. So I can support them. When I go to a tournament, somebody can give me a token, take this 1,000. And that can give us, I know how to plan food, this and this. So I was not looking it widely. So when Paul taught me everything, it reached a day of Paul going. So Paul, with some of his friends, they donated uniforms, balls, and they brought it to Kenya. And that was the beginning of Estep. Now I started coordinating. I gave people, we wrote things down. So with that, after 5 years, after just Paul went, I started writing proposal, just simple proposal. And to a very big surprise, the organization called Oxfam and PeaceNet decided to fund us for the first time with 3,000 euros. to support a program for peace. So this program, I just thought like, okay, by that time there was fight between the tribes. And there was this organization, the other side, there was community in this side, and there was the community in the camp. So I was taken by Red Cross to do a program called Psychosocial, Support for Psychosocial. I mobilized, I called the counselors, they talked to the people. And the sport was working because I just entered to the camp, I make teams for girls, and they were finding a lot of issues. Girls who are raped, they are being treated. That others who want to commit suicide, they can talk to. And it became, and that's how I met now Oxfam. They were coming to work in the camp, and they were standing and looking how I'm coordinating, because I was now working, volunteering with Red Cross. I do some program, I enter to the camp, and through when I play with the children, they can say, my mother is sick and he's in the tent. There is somebody maybe who has an injury and he doesn't know how to. So this stressed everything. And the camp was, it was like I was the center of the IDP camp with the Red Cross. So this, our communication. Later I met Oxfam and PeaceNet, and they told me, what can you do to bring people together? Then when I was sharing all these, they told me, put it on paper. So when I put that on paper and I sent to them, they decided, let's do it. So I brought the priests, the sheikhs, all the religion. And at first, doing this, this was the impact program, very impact. Because the community had said, no. The people in the camp, they said, we are not going back. So I said, no, everything is okay. So I called the pastors, because they are the leaders of different churches. Mm-hmm. I told them, also, you need to make a team as pastors. Just come, play a little bit, make people to shake hands. The first day we organized this tournament, the people from the camp, they refused to shake hands with the people in the community. They said, no, how can I shake and I know this person did this? Our house was burned. My father is sick. I've lost our business. How can I shake hands? I went back and I said, okay, we need to do this event again. I called the pastors. I told, okay, you need to play first. And this peace program went very high, and at the end of the day, it was also supported by Nike, Mercy Corp. They came in. Nike gave us a 40-foot container, because I came up with an idea. We need to mix up people. Mm-hmm. Every team should have different tribes and maximum 7. And when they were integrating, it was one of the best initiative. The very best, because people connected, they were playing, because they have been given uniform. You know, when we are in uniform, you can't tell which tribe. You see a color. And we use that, a lot of talks, a little play. A lot of talk, a little play. And USAID came in, they gave some young people some funds to start their business, and people started growing. Others who have participated in our program are now around 10, they are playing for Premier League. We started getting connection. And when I asked you, because when Paul came, he became silent. When I sent him what is happening, he became very surprised. And he was asking me, how can I help? How can I help? And after some years in 2011, there is where I came to meet the University of Amsterdam. Wonderful. It has been a very big pillar to us, this program Pamoja Kenya, because it created me on a professional level. It made me, despite of going to a lot of short skills training, because I've gone to counseling, I've gone to management with short topics. Some organization calls me, they tell me, okay, we want to take you to Tanzania. You are going to there for 6 months. We want you to do project management. We want you to go here. We want you to learn some skills, finance management, communication skills. And all this has been like a gift from organizations. And all these short courses, sometimes I look, they have built my capacity. And through that, when we met now with the University of Amsterdam, the Pamoja Kenya project, which has been a very powerful tool to ESTEP. It's now 10 years together. And when the first group came in 2012, I spoke with the app. They were doing interview. In fact, we were in a partnership with East African organizations. And YAP and the university, they were looking for an organization. And this organization, they wanted an organization that has an idea of also putting something, a premise, so that they can leave a mark in that country. So when they were doing their evaluation, the monitoring, which group can we choose, they asked this partnership. And in the partnership, I can say we were, STEP organization was not the best. I can say looking others, they have buildings, they have well-established, they have good systems, with good structure. But when they say that, I said, oh, us, we are out. But I was surprised when we were brought on board. There is an organization called ISA, International Sports Alliance. And there was Martin Haller and Leonie. They were taking the lead of this organization. So they said, no, we are proposing ASTEP. ASTEP should take the lead. And there was Seeds of Peace Africa, SOPA. They also said ASTEP should take the lead. There was Pax Christi. They also recommended ASTEP should take the lead. So this organization, that day I went with it because we had staffs who were doing some work, who were being funded, and I said, can we do it? Can I lead it?
Well, I can assure you that Timothy Lusala did it. ASAP has grown and has positively impacted many people. It created also a strong partnership with the Javiao, with the Pamoja Kenya Project. My name is Michelle Ernest, a co-host with Peter Van Basten of an Inside Out episode. If you would like to hear more about the project, listen to our third generation member, Wouter de Haas, in our previous episode. Here you'll get more insight from the perspective of both Wouter and Timothy on the project. Additionally, follow us on Spotify to be sure not to miss out any episodes.